Welcome to the Gong Show Hockey Podcast, discussing news and topics from around the NHL and beyond. Welcome to the Gong Show Hockey Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Zach, recording on a Thursday evening, just before all the NHL games start, so some of this information could become a little bit outdated, but I did want to get an episode in this week. I know I wasn't sure if I was going to make it, but there's been so much craziness going on, specifically with the Eastern Conference wildcard race, that I didn't feel like I could pass up an opportunity to record a podcast, at least going over it a little bit. It may be a bit of a shorter episode, but the Eastern Conference wildcard race is absolutely bonkers. And not because all of these teams are firmly in the mix, playing their best hockey of the year and trying to fight for a playoff spot, but because nobody can seem to grasp a playoff spot, put together multiple games of wins, and get any sort of gap in the standings. So we're in a scenario where the team who clinches it very well could end up with fewer than 90 points. The Eastern Conference wildcard race reminds me a lot of being at a meeting or a party where the host obviously did not order enough pizza. And you've got a bunch of people, everybody's eating their pizza, it's gone way too quickly, and inevitably there's like one or two slices left in the box and nobody wants to be the greedy pig that takes the last slice. And that's how the teams look to me right now, because nobody wants to grab that last wildcard spot. Nobody wants to firmly entrench themselves in the playoffs. Instead, teams keep letting opportunity after opportunity slip through their grasp, so much so that we've gotten to the point that the Pittsburgh Penguins are now relevant in the playoff conversation again, where if you go back a couple weeks ago, they're completely out of it. And it's just mind-boggling that no team has stepped up and put together a solid run of play to create a gap. I mean, at various points over the last month or so, each team has really had a chance to jump into a playoff spot and stay there. You know, you had the Philadelphia Flyers had a huge lead. They've squandered that. The Red Wings were, 10 points up at one point and squandered all of that. You've had the Islanders who had a chance to keep a solid run going and stay in the playoffs spot, and they squandered that. The Capitals have fallen off lately. They could be the latest victim, even though they're still in maybe a little better spot than most. But it's just been wild to watch no team step up and grab a playoff spot. So that means as we approach these last few games, there's plenty still to be decided. And really, any of these teams, if they can put together several nice wins coupled with losses from the teams around them, could make the playoffs. And I mentioned the Pittsburgh Penguins are now, you know, technically back in the race. Well, tonight is a very, very important game for them. If they lose it, it's probably a lot less likely that they're going to be relevant in the playoff race leading up to the end of the season. If they win, there's a very real chance that they could find their way back in the playoff hunt. And that game is against the Washington Capitals. That puck drops here in an hour or so. So that's going to be a game I'm definitely going to be keeping my eyes on. We also have the Islanders taking on the Blue Jackets. Under normal circumstances, that should be an easy win for the Islanders and two big points. But the way these teams have been playing lately, there's really no easy game, no free points, and we'll have to see how that shakes out. Now, I mentioned both those games haven't happened yet, so some of this information could become radically outdated or different depending on the outcomes. When we're looking at the playoff odds on Money Puck right now, the Flyers of that group still have the best chance to make it. They are still technically in that third divisional spot, and the Capitals could catch them, but they really need a win tonight in order to do that. The Flyers sit at a 62.2% chance. It's also worth noting that they played more games than most of the other teams, so they have less runway left than a lot of these teams, so if someone gets hot, they have more of a chance to unseat the Flyers than probably some of the other teams. The Capitals have the second best odds right now, sitting at 54.6%. Now, that could change dramatically if they were to lose to the Penguins tonight. After that, the Red Wings are still hanging around after salvaging 3 points in a Florida road trip, so not a bad result for them. It brings them up to a 42.2% chance. Then the Islanders are hanging in there with a 25% chance. That could be helped by a win against the Jackets tonight. And the Pittsburgh Penguins, who were previously in single-digit chances of making the playoffs thanks to the teams above them not capitalizing and their own solid play relatively recently, has given them a 14.7% chance of making the playoffs. If we're looking at the standings right now, as I mentioned, the Flyers are sitting in that third Metropolitan Division playoff spot with 83 points, but the Washington Capitals are only 1 point behind them with 2 games in hand, so a win does help them jump up to that position and push the Flyers back down to the wild card. The Detroit Red Wings are sitting just outside of the wild card, tied with the Washington Capitals with 82 points, but have 1 additional game played. The Islanders are only 1 point back of the Red Wings with the same number of games played, and the Pittsburgh Penguins are at 79 points with the same number of games played, 75. So each of those last 3 teams have 7 games left to play. Now, part of the reason the Penguins have decent odds, or I should say non-zero odds, of climbing out of a hole and jumping all those teams is because their upcoming schedule features a lot of the teams above them. We mentioned they're playing the Capitals tonight. That's a crucial game. Then they play the Lightning, which is a tough matchup, but the Lightning haven't been super consistent lately. Maybe you catch them on an off night and can eke out 2 points there. Then they have the Leafs before going on to the Red Wings, which that is probably a must-win game. And then they have the Bruins, the Predators, before finishing the season against the Islanders. That's another must-win game. So if you look at the Penguins' playoff chances, they really hinge on tonight, the Red Wings game, and the Islanders game. Otherwise, of those 4 games, they just need to get some points out of it. If it's 2 wins, 2 losses, and they do get these 3 critical wins, they very well could be in the playoffs. Meanwhile, moving on to the Flyers, because the Flyers do have the best chance of making it still. They have the most games played of the group, but their schedule remaining is relatively decent. They've got the Sabres next, although the Sabres this time of year are a real wild card. You're never sure what you're going to get with them. They've beaten some pretty good teams lately and put up some really impressive performances, including a complete beatdown of the Washington Capitals. So they're no pushover, especially this time of year. You also look at the Flyers right now. There's a lot of turmoil there. Couturier, there was the scratching kind of controversy before. Now he is injured, so he's going to miss the next few games. And the goaltending that helped keep the Flyers ahead in the standings most of the season up to this point has kind of faded. Samuel Erison stepped in and filled the void left by Carter Hart pretty admirably. He had a pretty solid season, but you can tell his play has started to drop off. Maybe the season's wearing on him. Maybe the defense has taken enough of a step backwards that it's really exposing him. It's hard to say, but the Flyers do have a major wild card that could alter their chances for finishing strong the rest of the season, and that is the addition of KHL goaltender Ivan Fedotov. Fedotov was previously signed by the Flyers and was supposed to be coming over to the NHL before he signed an additional contract in the KHL and ended up staying there. Now, there's a lot of geopolitical stuff probably interspersed in this situation. He was supposed to be allowed to leave to begin his NHL career before he was told that he had not fulfilled his Russian military obligation. So ultimately, he ended up staying there. And that pressure there may have forced him more or less into signing a contract in the KHL. It was kind of mentioned his heart didn't really seem like it was in it, didn't want to stay in the KHL, was looking for a way out, finally was able to go. It's also worth mentioning that there was a contract dispute between the NHL and the KHL because he was obviously signed by both leagues, and that case was decided in favor of the NHL. That contract was ruled valid, and the KHL one was ruled invalid, but it didn't really matter because Fedotov was in Russia at the time, so he ended up just playing there. Well, fast forward to last week, and his contract was terminated in the KHL. He's finally able to come over, and he could be a crucial piece to helping the Flyers stay in a playoff spot. He's a very interesting goalie, largely because of his height. He's one of the tallest NHL goalies to ever play. He was previously listed at 6'8". It sounds like his actual measurement is like 6'7½", but that's still a massive frame for a goaltender. He's been more or less thrown into immediate action, especially with Erickson struggling. So if he can come in and provide them solid goaltending, and I thought he looked good in his relief appearance. I don't think either of the two goals he allowed were really his fault. If he can come in and give them good goaltending, it might be enough to push the Flyers over the top, help them hold on to their playoff spot, and heck, he might even be a bit of a wild card in the playoffs. I don't think we really know what Ivan Fedotov is as far as an NHL goalie, so there isn't an extensive book on what the best way to beat him is, and big goalies are notoriously hard to beat on certain plays and certain shots. Like when you're going for tips or redirects, they cover so much more of the net. They're very hard to beat down low unless you can beat them five hole or force them to move side to side, which kind of opens them up a bit. So it may take time for the NHL to figure out how to score on this guy, just given how big he is and how few goalies are that size. Now, after that Sabres game, they do have the Blue Jackets. That should be a very winnable game for them. Then the Canadiens, another decently winnable game. But again, the Canadiens, much like the Sabres, are really turning it on at the end of the year. They're playing loose. They're playing to spoil other teams' season, and they seem to be relishing the opportunity. After that, the Flyers have the Rangers, Devils, and then a very important game against the Capitals to end the season. So that last game on the calendar could be a big one. If it comes down to it, maybe it's what decides who gets that third divisional spot. Maybe it decides who gets the last wildcard spot. We really don't know. And it seems crazy to say that with so few games left, but there's really a whole range of outcomes for all these teams. Now, the team with the next best odds, the Washington Capitals, have the Pittsburgh Penguins, obviously, tonight. If they can collect 2 points tonight, that would be huge for them and go a long way towards solidifying their playoff berth. After that, they have the Hurricanes, the Senators, and then a very crucial game against the Red Wings, which could put the Red Wings out of the race for good this time, before finishing with the Sabres, the Lightning, the Bruins, and the Flyers. So Flyers game, another critical one. And the Capitals schedule is, I would say, a little bit harder than the Flyers. They do have 8 games remaining instead of just 6, so more runway there, but not necessarily easier opposition. So we'll see if the Capitals can bank the points they need, but they are in a better spot with that runway than the Flyers, at least at this particular point in time. Now, after them, we move on to the Red Wings. The Red Wings coming off a pretty good Florida trip where they had an overtime, or rather a shootout loss, and then a regulation win against the Lightning. And now they move on to playing the Rangers tomorrow. That's a very tough matchup for them. They haven't done well against the Rangers, it feels like, the last several years. Unsurprisingly, they kind of struggle against everyone, but the Rangers in particular. Before moving on to the Sabres, which, again, that's a team, it's hard to know what to expect from them. They can absolutely beat up on you, and in fact, they beat up on the Red Wings just a few weeks ago, so that'll be an interesting one. Then there is a pivotal game against the Capitals. They must have that game if they want to keep their playoff hopes alive. After that, they have the Penguins. That game is also pretty important before moving on to the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's a very tough matchup for them. They have split the series, I believe, so far this year, so there may be a chance there, especially if the Leafs choose to maybe rest a couple guys. We'll have to see how that shapes up. And then they finish the season on a back-to-back, both games against the Montreal Canadiens. They start off on the road and then finish it on home ice there. And the Canadiens could be a tough opponent for them, but they absolutely need to have both of those games, especially with the strength of schedule they have coming up. The Islanders, meanwhile, finish the season against the Blue Jackets, the Predators, the Rangers, the Canadiens, the Rangers again, the Devils, and then the Penguins. So a couple really difficult matchups against the Rangers, a little softer matchup against the Islanders and Canadiens, and then a very critical game against the Penguins. So if the Islanders want to make the playoffs, they're going to need to bank points against the teams that you'd expect them to beat and probably steal a couple additional points somewhere in there, as well as beating the Penguins. Now we'll see how all that shapes out. I mean, a lot of these teams have shown an inability to win, so maybe that continues and maybe we do see a team make the playoffs with sub 90 points, which seems crazy to say. Now, in the Western Conference, the playoff race is mostly over at this point. We did talk about the Blues and the Wild still having a chance. They still mathematically have a chance. The Minnesota Wild have a 3.3% chance. That percentage is way down in part because of a very unfortunate loss to the Vegas Golden Knights in overtime, where John Hines once again pulled his goalie, gambled it all, and ended up losing this time. And so instead of taking a guaranteed point out of that game, they got zero, and that really hurt them. And it's easy in hindsight to say that was the wrong move, but at the time I was still questioning it because the risk and reward just doesn't seem to line up there. You're risking a guaranteed point, possibly two, to avoid a shootout, which is kind of a coin flip. And your best case scenario is winning with your goalie pulled, where yes, you get the extra winner point, but is it really worth the gamble to lose at all? And I don't really see it being the right move. I applaud him for having the guts to do it. I just don't think he should have done it. And I think it ultimately probably ends Minnesota's playoff hopes, although technically they do still exist and they may end up missing the playoffs by more than 2 points. So in that case, did it really matter in the end? I don't know. That's probably something up for debate. Meanwhile, the St. Louis Blues are sitting with an even lower chance of making the playoffs at 2.4%. And it just, at this point, they need a bit of a miracle to make it because the West looks like it's largely locked up. And, you know, you look at the standings, the Los Angeles Kings are sitting in that second wild card spot with 89 points. They're actually only 1 point back of the Predators, who are in the first wild card spot. Both teams have 75 games played. The Blues have 75 games played, sit at 84 points. So a 5 point gap is an awful lot to make up with so little runway left. I mean, you have 7 games and you got to make up 5 points. You essentially almost need those teams to lose out, and you almost need to win out in order to flip that in the standings. And that's something that doesn't really happen this time of year. Possible, but very, very unlikely. With that, I wanted to take a quick look over at the divisional standings. Obviously, some more teams have locked up playoff spots. In the Atlantic Division, we have the Bruins at 103 points and the Florida Panthers at 99 points, both with 76 games played, currently occupying the 1-2 spot, and both teams are mathematically clinched into the playoffs. The Bruins have been playing much better as of late. They are 6-4 in their last 10, so maybe starting to put things together at the right time. Meanwhile, the Florida Panthers have looked terrible lately, their last 10 games being 2-7-1, which is terrible, and certainly not the form you want to have going into the playoffs. So they might be a tough opponent to match up against at the end of the season just because they're going to be trying to right the ship going into the playoffs. Now, underneath them are the Toronto Maple Leafs, who at this point could actually catch the Florida Panthers without too much difficulty because while they are 4 points back, they do have a game in hand. So there is a realistic chance that the Toronto Maple Leafs could slide into that number two spot and get home ice advantage for the first round of the playoffs. Moving over to the Metropolitan Division, the New York Rangers are sitting alone at the top with 106 points and 76 games played. I think it's looking pretty likely they should be able to hold on to that spot, especially with some of the opponents they have coming up. In second place, the Carolina Hurricanes are, you know, have clinched a playoff spot and are all but guaranteed to have the second Metropolitan Division spot, because beneath them currently is the Philadelphia Flyers. They're 18 points back. That gap is not getting closed. And the Washington Capitals are 19 points back. Again, not going to close that gap. So the Hurricanes are safely in second place, and they're just kind of waiting to figure out who they're going to play in round one. In wild card, Tampa Bay is very firmly in that first wild card spot. They are not a playoff lock mathematically, but I think for all intents and purposes, they will be a playoff team and they will continue in that first wild card spot. it's pretty unlikely that they're going to be able to catch the Leafs, although they did beat them last night, so that could help their case a bit. But they're still 4 points back with the same number of games played, so they kind of need the Leafs to fall off the wagon a bit over their last seven games if they're going to slide into that third Atlantic Division spot. Now, over in the Western Conference, looking at the Central Division first, the Dallas Stars have pretty firmly cemented themselves in the top spot. At 76 games played, they have 105 points. They're 5 points clear of the Avalanche, although the Avalanche do have a game in hand. So they could help close that gap a little bit, but it's looking right now, especially the way Dallas is playing, like they could very well keep that top spot. The Avalanche, meanwhile, look like they're at worst going to finish second in the division. The Jets could theoretically catch them, but the way that the Avalanche are playing, you feel like they're pretty safe where they're at. The Jets, meanwhile, are safe in the third spot, sitting at 96 points and 75 games played. So 4 points back of the Avs, which is not impossible to make up, but they are very much free and clear of the Nashville Predators. 6 points clear of them at this stage of the year is almost insurmountable, unless they completely fall apart. In the Pacific, the Vancouver Canucks are firmly first, have clinched a playoff spot like the Stars and Avs. They sit at 102 points with 76 games played, and they are 7 points ahead of the Oilers, who do have two games in hand on the Canucks, but have a lot of space to close in a short amount of time if they want that top spot. Otherwise, it looks like they might end up facing off against the Golden Knights in round one, because the Golden Knights have snuck into the third Pacific spot with 92 points and 75 games played. It was a bit of back and forth, but Vegas's recent play has been pretty solid, a little bit better than the Kings, which has helped them earn that third spot, at least for now. And the wild card picture looks like it's locked up, with Nashville in the first wild card spot, 75 games played and 90 points. And the Kings have 75 games played as well with 89 points. So those teams could flip-flop. The Kings could theoretically catch the Knights, but it looks like this is pretty close to where we're going to see the standings finish when the regular season ends. The last thing I wanted to cover was a little signing that did occur. The Toronto Maple Leafs re-sign left-handed defenseman Simone Benoit. The 25-year-old defenseman has been a pretty decent fit with the Leafs, and he gets a 3-year extension worth $1.35 million per year. I think the Leafs have plenty of good left-handed defensemen, but the price there isn't going to kill you, and by all accounts has been a pretty decent fit there. He's played in 57 games, has 1 goal and 4 assists for 5 points, but that's not really what you get him for. You get him more for a defensive role, some physicality, and a little bit of edge on the Leafs' blue line. He is a big guy at 6'4", 205 pounds, and can bang the body a little bit, and that's something you want in a bottom pair defenseman, and I think he does best when he's allowed to play those limited minutes in the third pairing, and anytime he's been forced to play above that, has struggled at times, but has been a decent fit there, and you get the certainty of having that player locked up for 3 years. You just hope that you don't have to play him above where he's currently at in the lineup. With that, we're going to end the episode for the week. I know it's a bit shorter one, but next week we'll be back with another episode looking at hopefully a more finalized playoff picture, and then we can start previewing the first round of the playoffs. So very exciting times ahead, and every game is meaningful at this time of year, whether it be for the lottery or for the playoff race. So lots of exciting, intense hockey to watch before the regular season ends. Thanks for listening to the Gong Show Hockey Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform of choice so you never miss an episode. And please give us a follow on X at Gong Show Podcast.